Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee meeting for May 11th, 2011, 4 o'clock p.m. Before starting the meeting, I'd like to meet a copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the back of the room. State Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to the turning to the agenda for today's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will first hear staff proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. We will ask that the public not interrupt the directors' discussion and action. Thank you very much. Quorum call.
Teaser?
Here.
Fowler?
Here.
Japp?
Here.
Sapinski?
Here.
And Chairperson?
Here. Item number four, adoption of agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Fowler?
Yes. Here.
Japp?
Yes.
Sapinski?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Aye. We have proof of publication of tonight's meeting will become part of the permanent record. Item number six. Review and recommendation FY 2022 equipment requirements. Nicole Gus.
Thank you. I'm here to present the equipment requirements for the 2022 fiscal year. The process to identify and prioritize equipment items most needed by the district was determined by a staff equipment committee. Each department within the NRD identified their equipment, and the equipment committee reviewed each item and made recommendations to the general manager for purchase. The general manager then reviewed the committee's recommendations and made further changes to the request list. For machinery and equipment, we have the second of five payments for a Caterpillar tire loader at $39,497. This purchase was approved by the board in 2020. The second of five payments for a Cat motor grader, $54,969.50, and this was approved in 2019. Bobcat track skid loader, annual trade, budgeted at $5,850. We are also requesting two name brand John Deere diesel mowers. The budget amount for these is These will be replacing two district 2010 Hustler mowers. The budget amount for these is a state contract pricing of $32,272.02. And we are name branding these for the our current John Deere equipment works really well. It operates efficiently. We have less maintenance. And Douglas County and Omaha also use these state contract. We are also requesting the annual lease of two Cat skid loaders and the annual lease of one Cat hydraulic excavator. The total amount for these two annual leases is $16,500, which will be budgeted in the maintenance dams equipment rental account. For automobiles and trucks, we are requesting a 2022 one-and-a-quarter ton dually regular cab with the trade-in of the district's 2012 Ford F-350 with over 146,000 end-of-year miles and almost $36,000 in maintenance. The budget amount is $45,000. We're also requesting a 2022 one-and-a-quarter ton dually extended cab with the trade-in of the district's 2010 F-350 with over 158,000 end-of-year miles and $57,000 in maintenance. Budgeted amount is $50,000. For rural water, we are requesting a 2022 one-ton extended cab with the trade-in of the rural water 2013 Ram 1500 with almost 179,000 end-of-year miles and $7,500 in maintenance. The budget amount is $35,000, and this will be reimbursed by Rural Water. We are also requesting a 2022 half-ton crew cab used for hauling trailers, carrying tools, valve keys, water meters, and other equipment necessary for assistance on the rural water systems, as well as after-hours rural water emergencies. And we would like to request a 2022 name brand Jeep Grand Cherokee. This would be replacing the district's 2008 Ford Ranger with 105,000 end-of-year miles and $18,000 in maintenance. We are name branding this vehicle because the district currently owns Jeep Grand Cherokees, and they have met the staff needs for high clearance for driving over rough terrain, ample room for site visits, and enough storage space for necessary equipment. As a reminder, the current vehicle maintenance schedule is 7 years or 150,000 miles for gas vehicles and 8 years or 200,000 miles for diesel vehicles per Director's Policy Manual 16.8. I have tracked the changes in the vehicle replacement schedule and maintenance cost changes and have provided this information for you to review. This is just a review item, and you guys all have a copy in your packets. For office equipment, most of the stuff we need is scheduled replacement. We need the scheduled replacement of a main backup server, $8,000. Scheduled replacement of Blair's backup server, $8,000. Scheduled replacement of the virtualization servers, $20,000. Phone system upgrade, and the reason for this is the district's current Toshiba equipment is discontinued and parts are no longer being manufactured, and that's budgeted at $45,000. And the annual purchases of parts, printers, tablets, and director equipment totaling $15,000. So you can see our proposed fiscal year 2022 budget. The total amount is $385,588. This current fiscal year 2021 budget is $386,705. So management recommends that the fiscal year 2022 equipment requirements be approved as listed, subject to fiscal year 2022 funding.
Thank you. We can have a motion on this item.
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Anyone in the public wish to speak to this item? Directors?
Make Bill Warren come up. Hello, Bill! So now you got to tell me why you're going to go to JV for Hustler or Kawasaki or Kubota or whatever.
Well, we have two John Deere zero turns right now, and we've had real good luck with them. Very little downtime, state contract, and they're only 10 minutes from our shop for repairs and parts. The Hustlers, they're a good mower, but we've had a lot of problems with them, stuck a lot of money in them. And if we keep the two that we have now, we're going to have to put about close to $4,000 in each one of them. So we're hoping that they hold out till the end of the season before we get new ones.
And they are, these are 72-inch?
Pardon?
Six-foot cut?
Yeah, they're zero-turn mowers.
No.
Ones, they're both 60-inch. We're going to put in get another
60-inch or 72?
60-inch, both of those are. So we're putting in for a 72-inch and a 60-inch John Deere.
Say that again.
72-inch and 60-inch for John Deere's.
Okay.
So.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Roll call.
Jap?
Yes.
Sapinski?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Aye. Item number 7, review and recommendation of the Little Papio Creek Channel Culverts Project, interlocal agreement with City of Omaha for design of drainage structure rehabilitation. Martin Cleveland.
Thank you. This project, as you all probably know by now, but is located in Omaha, and it's between Spaulding Street and Q Street. So it's kind of north of Maple, and then, you know, Q Street, of course, everybody knows where that's at probably. It was built in 1970, and we've been, over the last number of years, have been televising or CCTV inspecting these pipes. And so we've determined over these years of inspections that there's 45 structures that have deficiencies. So last year, the board approved contract with Fiber Engineering to design the rehab for these projects, basically to figure out how to properly align the structure or replace it. And so along with that, we've also determined in this process that some of these structures are owned by the City of Omaha. They put in or installed about 23 of these 45 culverts that we're looking at as part of this fiber project. And so that consists of, if you look at the cost of those structures as far as repair, about 59% of the total construction cost that's estimated for this project. So we've asked the City of Omaha to contribute for their share of the structures design costs. There'll be a later interlocal agreement that's going to address construction, but this is for design costs. And so we're asking the City of Omaha to contribute $350,000 of the total of $566,640, which is the estimated engineering cost. So it would save the district roughly $350,000 if they would pay that cost share. District share is $216,000 of that total amount. So again, we're just trying to get the City of Omaha to contribute and pay for their culverts that we're going to rehab as part of this project. We're required by the Corps of Engineers to rehab these structures. We can't just ignore them. Even though they're owned by the city, we got to repair them. So this is an effort to try to get the City of Omaha to step up the plate and pay their cost, their portion of the cost of the project. So before you tonight is an interlocal agreement that gives all the details on that, but it's essentially to have them cost share on design of these structure rehab. So I'll be happy to answer any questions. I can also show you the maps of where they're all at, but it's kind of hard to see on the board with 45 structures. It's hard to see where they're at, but they're essentially for all the way from Spalding down the queue. They're all over. And Little Papio is an old project. It's been, the culverts are probably built before 1970 in a lot of cases, but they're old enough that everything is kind of wore out, and that's what we're seeing, that we're replacing or rehabbing a lot of structures because they're basically wore out because of time. They're steel pipes in a lot of cases, and after about 40 years, they have tended to rust out because of all the salt in the streets. So, again, I'll answer any questions you may have on that.
Thank you. We can have a motion.
Staff recommendation.
Second that.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors? Jim?
So this has to go to the City Council then?
It does. You're actually seeing it first, I might say, or hearing it first. We have talked to city staff, and it's at, legal has seen it once before. This is the second go-around, but essentially the same as it was the first time, and legal did indicate they would be supportive of it. So if you go into City Council, I believe, on the 18th, it'll be the first reading, is what they call it. So it goes through multiple readings, I think, is what I've been told. But the 18th of May, which would be, next week, I guess.
And you got this lady, Jean Stothard, as mayor. You know, today's election day. You might want to have...
might have to change it.
Premonition there, Martin. I don't know. But I just teasing on that a little bit. We'll sign it first is what I'm getting at. Then.
Right, we'll approve it first, basically.
And have you had any indication 59% is a... It makes sense. It makes common sense. So I think that shouldn't be any problem, I don't think.
We're happy the staff is supportive of it so far, at least. I mean, it's, sometimes there's a problem because there is money limitations in the city as well as there is here. So it isn't always easy to get people to cost share and things.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions?
This is only design work here, correct?
Right, the only design costs.
And from this study, then, we'll determine what exactly will need to be done, or we have a pretty good idea already what needs to be done?
We already have an idea. We already have 30% or 60% planned. So the rough construction cost, you see, you're probably wondering what that is about $7.6 million, the total cost.
And how's that divided up as far
and
as
that's,
paying
for it? Roughly $4.5 million is Omaha, and $3.1 is... NRD. So, again, that's 59% is what we're looking at. And this, of course, as we get into design, as we get into the core review of core engineer's review, there might be some small changes in design because they'll want something different than what we proposed. And also, when you bid it, the bids, of course, come in different years than what your estimates are. But hopefully, we're in the ballpark. And so, there will be another agreement maybe later this year that talks about the actual construction once we have things more firmed up on costs. And so, we'll be coming to board with that later. It took a while to get the city staff to this point. It took a number of months to get to this point to have an actual agreement to bring to you.
You hope the actual construction will be this year yet, or would that be held off till next year then?
We would hope to start the construction this year. So we may have about, in the budget this year, probably $2 million will be shown in the budget for cost. So it's not going to be the whole thing, but maybe $2 million might be in the budget for construction costs. Again, it's going to take a while for the core engineers to get the design approved, and that may take till, let's say, in the fall. And so we probably won't have an actual bid letting until maybe fall or winter. So it's not going to be maybe half a year of construction, something like that. That's probably optimistic on my part, but because knowing how things work with reviews.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Thank you. Yes.
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
And
Aye. Item number 8, review and recommendation of the fourth addendum to the Nebraska Land Trust Agreement. Jim Bisick and Dave Sands, Nebraska Land Trust.
Yeah, thank you. This recommendation is to extend the relationship we've had with the Nebraska Land Trust for an additional 3 years. You know, the NRD has been a charter member of the Land Trust Board, a very diverse board, and included in your original packet is a number of items. One of them is a copy of the original agreement that we entered into back in 2009. A spreadsheet that shows all of the current, or all of the easements, there are, I believe, 50 of those, across the state of Nebraska, and a copy of the latest Nebraska Land Trust Impact Report. David Sands, who was here last July, gave a PowerPoint presentation about the Land Trust, so he's not going to redo that, but he is here to respond to any questions you have, and hopefully the board will approve the authorization of the agreement. Dave?
Thank you, Jim, and thank you for having me. Always a pleasure to come back to the Papio, since, in a sense, you helped parent the Nebraska Land Trust. As Jim mentioned, I did give a half-hour PowerPoint presentation a year ago, so I'm not going to steal a half hour of your time today. But I just want to provide some beef update and highlights of that PowerPoint. In that PowerPoint, we talked about how, in the past several years, we formed a Lower Platte Valley Advisory Committee, made up of three NRDs, county government, agricultural landowners, business representatives, tourism, camps, and so forth. When we convened that group, we then spent a year crafting a scoring protocol so that when we go out and visit properties, we can prioritize them to get the biggest conservation bang for the buck, and that's important when you have limited funding for conservation easements. We did that. We came up with a very good scoring protocol, and then we actually used it to score six different properties in all of the counties, Cass, Saunders, Douglas, and Sarpy. From that scoring process, we did identify the top priorities that we wanted to pursue. We also said that we would go to the Environmental Trust and ask for a grant, and we did get a $350,000 grant from the Environmental Trust, and just at the very end of last year, we applied that grant to protect a 170-acre farm in the Schramm Bluffs of Sarpy County, just about a mile east of Schramm State Park. And it rose to the top of the priority list because it has the resources that are so important in the Schramm Bluffs area. It had archaeological resources, Oak Hickory woodlands, spring-fed stream, some wetlands along the spring-fed stream, and, of course, productive agricultural land. And we were able to leverage that $350,000 grant with a very large landowner donation of value through a bargain sale. And so that's kind of where we've been. Where we're going is that, you know, there, I will first point you to the what I would call our return on investment handouts. And there's a couple of them. One is a financial return on investment. which is that if you took all four cooperative agreements we've done with the Papio, totaled them up, and divided them into the funds we've raised to purchase conservation easements, it amounts to about a 21-to-1 return on investment in terms of financial resources. Of course, I think the most important investment is the conservation return on investment, and those are the pictures of the Martin Farm that you have before you in the map and shows what we were able to get protected. Going forward, you know, I will be honest with you, there is a challenge going forward on funding. It appears the Environmental Trust is not going to fund conservation easements, at least for the foreseeable future. They've kind of taken a hard turn because of appointments to the trust board. And so that means that we still, fortunately, we've always used the Natural Resources Conservation Service program, which is a farm bill program to fund conservation easements. And the timing was good. In the 2018 farm bill, they removed the requirement for cash match. And so now we can get 50% of the funding for a conservation easement from NRCS on qualifying properties, or 75% if it happens to be a grassland. We also, you know, some landowners just can't afford to donate 50% of value. And so we are looking to establish what we're calling the Conservation Opportunity Fund that would replace the Environmental Trust. We've approached a number of foundations, and so we hope to build that fund in the future so that when we come up against an opportunity where the landowner says, well, you know, I can't donate 50%, but I might be able to donate 25%, that we'll have some funds in reserve to purchase those easements. And so with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you all may have.
Thank you very much. We can have a motion on this item.
I'll motion for staff recommendation.
The motion. Can we get a second?
Second.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors? Larry?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering about if anything from the federal level on the 30-30 program, and perhaps any help in that area?
You know, the 30-by-30 was a line in the President Biden's climate executive order that set a goal to protect 30% of our land and waters by the year 2030. Some people took that, you know, that's all it said. And I've got to say, mystery is the mother of exaggeration. And because there was so little detail around that goal, people were envisioning all kinds of things. And federal land grab was probably mentioned often in certain areas. Thankfully, now they've actually come out with the report. And it has very high-level principles that any land conservation should follow. They've gotten rid of the name 30 by 30. They now call it America the Beautiful. And I have to tell you, I love the paragraph on property rights, because it makes very clear that private property rights will be respected, and that what they're going to try and do is encourage voluntary participation in already existing NRCS programs. So pretty much the status quo in terms of private properties. And it even says in there that the president honors farmers and ranchers, and you know what, recognizes that just continued working landscapes are a key to this. And so hopefully that will remove some of the federal land grab rhetoric that has surrounded this initiative. But I would point out that at this point, it's just a report. There's no federal funding other than what's already in the NRCS programs and so forth. And so I think it still remains to be seen, the devil's in the details. But what I'm hopeful for is what it will do is offer more funds for voluntary programs, like the agricultural land easement program, or perhaps, you know, on-the-ground conservation programs like EQIP and so forth. And my sense is that that's the direction it's headed.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Teaser?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Kaminsky?
Yes.
And Treverson?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Item number 9, review and recommendation of application for small flood control and water quality structure 319 program. Terry Schumacher and Dan Lightbody. Oh.
Good afternoon. Back in February, the board adopted an update to the small flood control policy 17.37 and included water quality construction. Our structure program is part of that. And with that, we updated the application, everything. And we have received an application from Lance and Michelle Dunker, who live northwest of Kennard in Washington County. They're obviously interested in this program since they applied for it. Olson was hired to do a little bit of preliminary design just to see if the feasibility of the project. The watershed's about 847 acres with a permanent pool of about 25 to 30 acres. The structure would be constructed as a high-hazard flood control structure and meet the goal of improving water quality in the watershed. I have with me tonight Dan Lightbody with Olson's to answer any engineering questions, and Lance Dunker is in attendance tonight. If anybody would want to speak to him, I think he would be available. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to have a motion on this item.
Motion to accept staff recommendation.
For a motion. Second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors. Director Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If this structure is approved, one, will it be public access to this 24-25 acre pool of water? And then two, will there be any fish in there? Would the Nebraska Game and Parks also be involved in some form or fashion down the road?
I'll answer your first question in the fact that this would be patterned after what we've done like in the Silver Creek or Pigeon Jones watershed. In fact, we are currently at PJ-12A under construction in that special watershed, which is a very similar size project. And that is all private, and so it's up to the landowner who they want in there or not. It kind of goes back to the voluntary thing as far as what was just discussed with the 30 for 30. And this would be the same thing. Certainly the game and parks may be included as far as, you know, fisheries and getting their input on what would help provide fisheries.
About the second, then you have a two questions?
No. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other questions?
It's probably early to know, but what would the approximate cost to the NRDB for this?
Well, it is early to know, but we do have some estimated costs. Total project design, engineering, land rights, we're set at $1.4 million. We do have 319 funds through the Nebraska Department of Environmental and Energy, which will certainly help with the design costs. We have that in our grant funds this first cycle. I was in conversations with people down at the NDEE earlier today, and they are certainly willing to look at possibilities as far as funding the structure construction itself. Now, they don't have any guarantees today, and I don't either. So that's a potential another source of funding. The other source of funding for this project could be the Environmental Quality Incentives Program. We would have Mr. Dunker sign up for that, and that could potentially fund 50% of the project. There again, there's no guarantees with that program either. It all depends on future funding levels and how things rank out.
So if none of those other sources come through, then we are solely responsible for building it then? Is that right?
We would certainly look for other funding sources, but potentially, yes, Tim.
Okay. Thank you.
Along the same lines, I'm sorry. Okay. Along the same lines, so if we approve this application, we are responsible for the project unless you can find other funds? Is that what? So what's the most what we're looking at spending, I guess, would be?
The most, and that's a tough question. We're very early in the game, but I'm going to say the most today, if we didn't get any other dollars, you're looking at $1.4 million.
That's obviously a lot of money, but do these applications usually come in without any cost estimates in them? Or am I just missing the cost estimate?
We didn't include the cost estimate in the packet. We're looking at $845,000 for construction, $275,000-ish for engineering, and then land rights would be $200,000. So that's kind of where I get that $1.4 million. Like I say, we will definitely get some of the engineering costs reimbursed, and we already have for what we've done so far. So as we move along, it just, you know, we need to figure out what the costs are actually going to be. And certainly this whole process, if the board approves this Thursday night, we will go out for a request for proposals for engineering. So Olson and various other engineering firms are welcome to submit requests. The board will select one, and all this is going to be subject to budget. I mean, if you were to say, hey, you know, we're not going to budget for engineering, well, we don't have a project.
So there's going to be further votes on this?
Yeah, and pretty much going to be similar to every kind of large project we've done. You kind of go with stages, and it's always board votes on whether you want to continue. I think in fairness to the Dunkers on this, they may want some reassurances that this will keep moving, but, you know, there's no 100% in life, as we
sure.
Well know.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
And you'll have to vote, too, on when we move into the construction phase. You'll have to vote on those contracts. So there's several different, like Terry said, of all of our projects where you get what I call another bite at the apple. So if the construction contract's way out of what we thought it was going to be, and there's no other participation, you can simply just say we're not going to fund this. I mean, we can do that with any of our projects. So this isn't the final vote.
Yeah, it just threw me off a little bit by not seeing a budget for which you'd be doing a lot of these things. So
Jim, then Kevin.
It threw me off with land rights. This is on private land, or are we requiring a permanent easement for this structure?
We're acquiring a permanent easement per the policy that was approved in February. It says we would pay 50% of the value of that permanent easement.
Which is that $200,000 you're talking about?
Yeah, we're estimating it's going to take between 50 and 60 acres for the structure, the pool, and then the 100-year pool for the project.
But this is on their land?
Yes.
What am I missing?
Yeah, that was kind of where I was going. Where's their skin in the game? I mean, what's...
Well, it's 50% of the land, right? If we can look at it that way. Now, I would say that's what the policy says. If the board directs us to negotiate something different, I mean, we can look at that, but that was the policy that was approved back in February.
This is what we want to have happen. I mean, they're going to give up the land, any agricultural opportunities on that land, and in return, we're going to get a structure that we need in that part of, that's Washington County, right, Ted? Yeah. So my question was about the easement, but I think you already answered that. But I think this is exactly what we want when we approve this back in February.
And part of the discussion on the 50% for the landowner was an incentive to incentivize them to do these things. I mean, we could say, you know, you have to donate the land, and we'll have a program, but we won't have any projects, in which we have a lot of programs that sit there and no one uses because they're not incentivized to do so. So I think that was the original idea of bringing that policy to you was, can we incentivize people to actually take advantage and get things built that we need built? And so that's why it's
So staff thinks this is a good use of this program. Okay. So that Thanks, Kevin. That answer.
Tim?
What were the metrics or the cost benefit? You said that this improves water quality, flood protection. What were the metrics that makes this a good project?
Dan, can you answer that, or have we gotten far enough?
Well, we can kind of touch base on the high points.
Dan, would you speak in the microphone and give you identify yourself?
What we would be looking at is you would gain streamline stabilization. It would also aid in flood control. What do I want to say, Terry? Water quality. It removes suspended solids from the water. So as that travels down, it creates a dam. And it stops those, and it retains them within the structure, and it provides cleaner water traveling downstream. So, but as to actually quantify that at this stage,
That'll happen during your engineering process or not?
Correct, it will.
So is there structures downstream of this, or?
Correct.
Is there just farmland that's the flood protection?
No, there are more structures further downstream. Yes. Yes.
He meant buildings.
Buildings. There's not going to be anything in the immediate flood vicinity. It will be agricultural land. Yes. And then when we start talking about flood reduction, we start talking about pulling off the peaks of these storm events. Yeah. And so while this may not be any one major structure, you know, this controls over 800 acres. So, I mean, I think what the point of what, you know, Terry looks at is how you can scatter these across, you know, through the watershed. So while you don't get one massive gain from any one structure, you know, the benefit from the whole, you know, is where we're looking.
I was just trying to figure out how you get a cost-benefit analysis that makes the optics of building a private lake on private land with public money and no access. That's a hard sell, it sounds like to me.
Director Caesar, are you through, Tim?
I'm done.
Okay.
Well, my question, I'll be chiming in here. What about future development? Can this guy subdivide and we have houses around this 30-acre lake?
So we'll have no control over the remaining land. I mean, and that's with any of our reservoir sites. We have the project, we have project easements, we have project property. We have no control what any property owner does outside of our boundaries of our project. Also, we've done these projects throughout the entire district and other water districts, and where we have private ponds or private structures that contribute to the overall either water quality or flood control of an area. All of our projects are general. They're considered general public benefit, which means anybody downstream of those or anybody in the immediate area gets some benefit from that. And it doesn't matter if we build a 150-acre reservoir or a 30-acre reservoir. Those are the types of things that we contribute to the overall health of the watershed. And so this is no different than we do anywhere else in the district, in other rural areas, except this program has that little bit of cut or that 50% for the land rights, just because this is going to be a little different environment, a little different watershed to work in. And so we need that little bit of incentive to get these projects in place. And I guarantee you, without that, we will have no projects in this watershed. And that's not the goal of the 319 money, the state money, equip money, and all those other pieces that will come together hopefully to fund these things. So it's a little different, but it's the same. And all the benefits are the same.
So Washington County won't allow us to build a big dam up there, but they'll allow us a 30-acre.
Well, Washington County has no jurisdiction here. It's the landowner that came to us. So there's no road closures. It's his private property to do as he sees fit. And he sees that there's a benefit to him and there's a benefit to the watershed to have a structure on his property. And that, I believe, and I won't speak for Mr. Dunker. He can explain that himself, but that's the purpose of the project. And that's how we get landowners and producers to do these things. Because without it, then we're going in and we're forcing them to do these things. And you know how that works out sometimes.
Can you go, Larry? You got a question?
Director Teaser brought up the very issue that I was thinking about. So.
He said you brought up the very issue he was thinking about. Tim?
As a follow-up, I'm not saying that it's not a good project. It doesn't have great benefits, and it's not something we should promote. I think you should probably lead with the benefits and have a better, because the first vote is the most important once you get down the road of engineering. Then you're tied into a project, and next thing you know, we're having it's a done deal. So that was my effort.
Okay. Any other questions? Roll call.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Sapinski?
Yes.
Teaser?
Pass.
And 2%.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you. Item number 10, review and recommendation of consent and crossing agreement with Papio Missouri River NRD and Lower Elkhorn NRD in Burke County. So Justin Novak.
I don't get it.
All right. Good evening, directors. This should be a pretty straightforward item. We were contacted by the Lower Elkhorn NRD here last month about a consent and crossing agreement for the Burke County Solar. The Lower Elkhorn NRD operate, and maintain the Logan East Rural Water System within our district boundaries. And that's kind of basically Oakland East, kind of north of Tecama and that whole region up there. They're building some new solar panel farms right there off Highway 75. And so they're going to be burying transmission lines around the water lines for the Logan East Rural Water System. As part of the original interlocal agreement, the Papio NRD, since it's within our district boundaries, had to sign off on those easements as well when we buried those water lines. And now the Burke County Solar is going to be burying their transmission lines and putting overhead power lines near and around those water lines. So the Lower Elkhorn NRD attorney contacted us. He sent us over the consent crossing agreement. Brent reviewed it, changed a few things with the identification stuff. And they're just looking for our support to bury those lines near the water lines for the Logan East Rural Water System. So we're just supporting what the Lower Elkhorn NRD is requesting, as they are going to be signing off on the easement as well. So they just need us to sign along with them. Okay. There's about 20 different locations throughout Burke County that this will be taking place. But like I said, it's part of the interlocal agreement. We have to sign off as well. So.
Okay, we can have a motion on this item.
Motion for staff.
Recommendation.
Second.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors? Roll call.
Jeff?
Yes. Yes.
Sapinski?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Tyler?
Yes.
Aye. Thank you. Item number 11, review and recommendation of contract amendment for phase two of professional services contract with HDR for WP4 project. Lori Lassie? Yeah. Hi, Lori. How are you?
You introduce yourself.
I haven't heard that this week. It's good to be back in person here. So, Bill, could you go to the map, please? So in 2017, if you remember, we started preliminary design on six priority structures within the Papillion Creek watershed, and one of those structures was WP4. We issued a contract to HDR Engineering and JEO Consulting Group as a team to design three of them, which included WP4. As we moved through the preliminary designs, they were completed in 2018, and the Papio Partnership started to look at their new plan in 2019. One of the priority structures for the Papillion Creek Watershed Partnership was WP4. So we are here today to move to the final design and construction phase for this project. We have worked with HDR to develop a contract amendment to their original contract to provide the final design services, bidding services, and construction administration. I guess I should mention this site is in Gretna on 204th Street and Schramm Road. I don't know if anybody can see that. So that's Schramm Road, and it currently ends right here at 204th Street. A couple of features of the project, we've got the main dam would be right here. This is the auxiliary spillway. We would have a very small access area right here. We would partially build Schramm Road. We are proposing to do some grading. We're working with Sarpy County right now to do all of the grading within the NRD project boundary, which would be right here. We wouldn't pave the road. We wouldn't storm sewer the road or anything like that. We would just make sure that when they build that future road, they're not coming in to disturb the project. And so in the next couple of months, you will have an interlocal agreement with Sarpy, and they would be paying for the design cost and the upgraded grading. And so the contract that we have for you tonight, like I said, includes final design services, bidding administration, and construction administration, where we would have someone on site monitoring the contractor. The hourly not to exceed amount for the amendment is $1,434,813. We anticipate that we would have final design completed about this time next year, and out to bid for construction and start construction in spring of 2022. Along with the final design, HDR will be putting together an application for the Water Sustainability Fund as well. We have applied to one of FEMA's programs, their new program, Building Resilient Infrastructure and Communities. There were $500 million available in that program this year, but they received almost $4 billion in applications, so we're not hopeful that we're going to get that money. It would have paid 75% of construction costs. And so with that, I can answer any questions. Lori Corrett with HDR is also here, too, if you have any design questions.
Thank you. We can have a motion on this item.
Move the staff recommendation.
Second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
Yeah.
Rich and then Jim.
What's the pool size?
I knew you were going to ask that, and I think it's about, is it about 12 acres, Lori?
15.
About 15 acres. So it'll be fairly small. I don't think that we are planning on motorboat access for this structure.
Mr. Rich?
I'm good. Thank you.
In the fresh memory, this is to the east of here is when we had that flooding Fox something or other.
Forest Run, yes.
So this prevent all that crap that went on before with the culverts further on down the stream. This fixes all that. And this is it's that old cornfield that someone would not sell, but now we've accomplished that over time, and here we are. Okay. Progress. Thanks.
Any other questions? Roll call. I'm sorry.
I've got a question. Do you know how many total acres are in this project?
Total acres, I think, is just over right around 80. We've got about 60 acres left to purchase, and we purchased 30 a couple of years ago.
So the pool is only 15 acres, and we're purchasing 80 acres?
Yes. So there's the top of dam issue that we have to consider.
Okay, and then do you know what the drainage size of the watershed for this particular dam is?
I believe it's about 1 square mile.
So 640 acres. So it's less than the Dunkers, which was 847?
Yes.
So how does the engineering come out to millions of dollars, where the Dunkers, we can engineer that for $275,000, and it's a bigger, it holds more water, it's a bigger watershed, and the estimate for engineering is $275,000, and this one comes out to about $3 million, $3.5 million. How does that happen?
Well, I don't know the particulars on the Dunker.
I'm just estimated what Terry had mentioned. So
I can tell you that. So this takes us all the way through. I mean, this includes geotechnical investigations. This includes surveying. It includes contract administration. So HDR is going to be there looking over all of the documentation from the contractor to make sure that quantities are matching what they see actually installed, concrete loads, checking concrete tickets. And so they plan on having someone on site for, I believe, 50 hours a week was in the contract for 17 months. So quite a, I mean, it's quite a big effort that we contract out for this particular project. A few other things, you know, with it being in the urban area as well, there's kind of some other considerations that we have to take into account. A sewer line has to be relocated, which is not something that you would encounter in a place like where the Dunkers are.
Okay, because it's just a 15-acre pool for $3.5 million. That's just a.
So the $3.5 million, though, that included preliminary designs of two other structures as well. So the preliminary design for WP4 was about $600,000.
Maybe I'm missing something there.
Yeah, it's a strange contract, and it took us a while to do all the math because we had three structures in one contract, and now we're only continuing on with one at this point.
And this one, we're adding $1.4 million approximately
for
just this one.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Kevin?
So, as many of you know, this is the western part of my district. I've spent no end of time on this project, and I've seen 6 foot of water raging through those neighborhoods to the east. So, Ted, I agree it's expensive. It's certainly more difficult to build a dam in the middle of town, I would think, I would surmise. But it's clear this needs to get done out there. I mean, the urban area has encroached this area, and that's all we have left to stop this water. So I'd recommend we certainly move this one forward.
Any other questions?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman.
The
old usual Bradley question, will public have access? And 15 acres, you can still put some fish in there, right?
Yes.
Panfish, bullhead.
Yes, so we will be working with Game and Parks. We anticipate that canoes and kayaks will have access at a minimum. Like I said, we haven't really gotten that far in the design yet as to exactly what the water access will be, but there is a trail all the way around.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Chinsky?
Yes.
Kaser?
Yes.
Howler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
And Jefferson?
Thank you very much. Item number 12, review and recommendation of urban drainage way program application from Douglas County, Ponca Creek at 36th Street. Eric Williams.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am joined today by Douglas County. They are up. Yep, they're here. In case you have any questions for them, but this is a standard program application in an unstandard presentation. We received the application for the Urban Drainage Way Program from Douglas County, along with the other applications, as part of the Urban Conservation Urban Cost Share Programs during the normal application period from February to March. We talked with Douglas County about this particular project. If you can skip to, let's see, start with the map, we can get an idea of where this is. There we go. This is in northern Douglas County on Ponca Creek on 36th Street. And if you remember, in January, there was a catastrophic failure. This was a large metal culvert pipe that failed, and the road on top crashed down into the channel. So Douglas County submitted an application for building a bridge in this location, and that would require some channel work underneath the bridge to help stabilize the channel as it was stabilized with the culvert prior to the collapse in January. So they applied originally under the Urban Drainage Way Program. We asked them to resubmit the documentation under the Road Structure Program because the specific type of project in this location seems to be kind of between the two different programs that we have available to provide assistance. We worked for a few weeks to talk with them about what is the appropriate way to proceed, and the end conclusion was this is more well-suited to the design guidelines under the Urban Drainage Way Program, and so the application went back to Urban Drainage Way Program, and that's what we have here. So we would have recommended this along with the other Urban Drainage Way Program applications. We thought we had a better path for it, but the final conclusion is that it should be back where it started originally. If we can skip to the next page, please. Let's see, two pages, please. Actually, the design. This is a plan view on the top and then a profile view, so you can see the channel and the new location of the bridge. The kind of oval shape down below is where the old pipe was located. So this shows the new bridge structure from south on the left to north on the right side of that profile view. And you can see the channel is going to be graded, and there will be rock under the bridge. And then in the plan view on the top, let's see if I can point to it for you. Right in this location, there will be a sheet pile wall that will help to stabilize the grade in the creek to prevent erosion and degradation from damaging the new bridge. That was previously accomplished by the culvert that was in place. So this is specifically the area we talked with Douglas County about trying to determine, is this the road structure program or is this the urban drainage way program? But we think we have the right answer here according to the guidelines for the urban drainage way program. That program authorizes 40% cost share for a stabilization project like this. And so the recommendation is to approve this project into the Urban Drainage Way Program in the FY22 budget, subject to funding, in the amount of $66,968. And again, Douglas County is here as is HGM if you have any questions about the design or the project itself.
Thank you very much. We can have a motion on this item.
Second.
Anyone from the public? Do they want to speak?
Good evening, directors. Dan Kudelek. I'm the engineering manager for Douglas County Engineer's Office. I'm sorry we had to come down and ask you for some money again, but this was something we didn't plan for. We do know we have to stabilize that channel in order to minimize damage upstream from this structure that we're taking out. It's acting as a weir, as a big pipe, actually, so we're going to reestablish that with this sheet piling. But anyway, it's an unforeseen catastrophic accident. We're just grateful nobody was hurt. So we appreciate your favorable consideration on this application. Thank you.
Thank you. Directors? Jim?
Douglas County, does this have to go through your board, or has it already been there for the
application? It already has been there. It's declared an emergency. So we have...
I'm sorry, the application to get money from us.
No, I don't believe that's necessary.
So the commissioner don't have to approve this?
No.
Reimbursement?
No.
Hmm. They know about it?
They do know about it.
Okay. All of them?
Yes, they do know about it. I sent them an email today and told them I'd be down here making a presentation, and I thank Eric for doing a much better job than I would have done.
Okay. Thank you.
So, Eric, our cost is $66,000 of this $165,000 project, or $667,000? Okay.
Yep, the guideline for the program is 40%. We recommend the contribution that when that goes into the budget, that then becomes a cap. So if there is an increase in overall cost, our contribution remains the same as what we put in the budget originally, unless there is a request to change that later, which is rare in these programs. So this would be the maximum contribution.
So Douglas County has agreed to pay the additional amount even without going to the board?
Well, yes. This is like any of our other projects. We would pay the entire cost of it, but we do need the county board approval on the contract, on selection of the consultant, which we've already done, of course. So they do get involved and approve at each of those steps. We don't believe there's any right-of-way issues, so that will help speed this project up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This one is in my district, and I, you know, would recommend to the PPO committee, if you would please, favor this and vote yes on it. But I did myself email all seven Douglas County commissioners to inform about it, maybe just before noon today, including Commissioner Mike Friend, which this is in his district, so, but I'm thinking they would approve it.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Teaser?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Yes.
Hi. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item number 13, review and recommendation of second amendment to the interlocal agreement with the city of Tecama for wellhead protection area plan cost share. Paul Woodard.
All right, good evening. What's before you tonight is a second amendment to our interlocal agreement. We started this back in 2018. The city's working on a drinking water management protection plan, which is basically a wellhead, their wellhead protection area, which protects the groundwater leading to their municipal wells. It's a plan to put in place to do best management practices, things like that. Kind of ends up being like a watershed plan, except it's for your wells. And then once that's approved by the state and EPA, you can then apply for Section 319 and other funds to help implement that. So we got started on that. And then the city worked with us and through Health and Human Services and applied for an NET grant. So it's kind of two separate things. The drinking water plan is going forward, and then we got an NET grant to help abandon and actually put a well seal in one of their municipal wells. This helps prevent nitrates from traveling down around the outside of the well and getting into the water supply. It doesn't fix the nitrates that are already there. It just helps it prevent them from getting into the well. So we're able to do that well and abandon four other old wells with that part. And where we're at right now is that we've had one draft of the drinking water management plan go to EPA and DEE, and they've had some unexpected changes. They want us to change a little bit of the methodology and the way we calculate a few things. So that's added to about a little over $10,000 of extra cost. NDE is going to pick up 90% of that, but they need somebody to pick up the other 10%. We're putting in the agreement that we would do that. We pick up the 10%. The city actually did help cover like $3,000 to $4,000 of additional costs that came up when, you know, the construction costs went a little bit over on those first set of wells that we did. So, I mean, if we're trading apples and apples, the city's paid for a little bit more than we have right now. So there's that piece of it. The second part of this amendment is that the city did apply for and, you know, kind of late in the process, got another NET grant to do all their remaining wells in the city and to actually abandon three other wells. So if you could go down to the map for me real quick. It's the second page here. The one that we abandon is the one here at the fire station. It actually happens out of their five wells. They have three that are kind of drilled on the uplands. You can imagine the highway kind of splits town. And this is the hills, and this is the flat floodplain area. So three are drilled in the Dakota sandstone over here, and the other two are drilled in the Missouri Valley. What we found is they actually operate quite similarly in that they have layers where these wells are drilled through that are actually kind of clay. So in the floodplain, there's some thick clay on the upper part of that. And then when they drill into the sandstone on the west side of town, there's actually some layers of shale and stuff like that that help. It's kind of this blockade, right? If there's nitrates that are, and that's where we're finding the nitrates, is up in the ground closest to the surface, you know, then we have, if the well's sealed off, we kind of have this blockade that prevents those contaminants from moving down to the other wells. So this has helped that. So go back up to the memo real quick. So our part of that would be to a cost share of another $30,000 to help implement the entirety of that NET grant. And that's what we're proposing the amendment would do here. Are there any other questions?
We can have them. Are you through, Paul?
Yep.
Okay.
We can have a motion on this item.
I so move we go with staff recommendation.
Got a motion? Second?
Second.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
I had one question. Thank you. Say, Paul, that's from 15 parts per million to 3 parts per million. What time frame was that?
That was just actually over about a month of pumping. So as the city used that well for a month, we went back and tested it two or three times within that time frame, and it moved down from 15 to 10 to 5 to 3.
That's a phenomenal success.
Yeah, it stayed. They did have one test jump up to 5 again, but then went back down. I saw the last one was like 2.3, so they're back to just, the city just has to monitor yearly now a nitrate test at that location. And these, that's their, one of their bigger wells, and this other one at the cemetery is their bigger well. So they should be able to operate the city much more efficiently now because their two big wells will, before they were trading off, which ones, they would pump one and it would start to become higher nitrates. Well, then they got to go pump from the other one until it becomes higher nitrates. And that's how they were keeping the city under the 10 parts per million threshold was going from one well back and forth to the other. Mm-hmm. This should alleviate quite a bit of that.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering, Paul, and the town of Takema, if this makes any sense. On the west side or the east side, which had the higher number of nitrate readings historically? Did it matter?
We've done most of our monitoring on the west side, which where we have a set of monitoring wells that have a shallow, a medium, and a deep. And our shallow is always reported high up there. But when we went and did testing near the city only had their one deeper well, which is the Miss well. That's what they always test. We did another shallow well next to our improvement. So now we have a monitoring well there, and we were seeing higher nitrates in that upper zone again. So the same problem actually existed in both areas.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Aye. Thank you, and that completes my report. PPR.
The time is 5:07, and we'll call the FEL subcommittee together to order. Notification of the Open Meeting Act is posted in the back. With that, roll call.
Bradley?
Here.
Conley?
Here.
Davidson?
Here.
McCormick?
Here.
Teaser?
Yes, here. Adoption agenda?
Mm-hmm. Second.
Roll call.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Jefferson?
Yes. First publication of the meeting, I have it before me. Item 6. And item 7, we're going to need to go into executive session. And let's get a motion to do that, and then we'll recess for a few minutes while they close the place up.
Motion to go into executive session to discuss land rights.
Second.
Okay. Roll call.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. We'll take a 3-minute recess. Okay, Phil seconded. Roll call.
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Yes.
Okay. Item.
I think the first one is
management recommends that the subcommittee recommend to the board to authorize district legal counsel to initiate the filing of a petition in the county court of Dakota County, Nebraska, on behalf of the district, pursuant to the procedures governing eminent domain provided by Nebraska Revised Statutes 76701 and others, for the appointment of appraisers to ascertain and determine the damages that will be sustained by Darlene L. Roos Revocable Trust dated December 29, year 2000, from the district's acquisition of the necessary land rights for the Elk Creek Levee Repair Project, and I so move.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Jay Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Cornyn?
No.
Jefferson?
Yes. Thank you. Item, whatever it was, West Sicilian Region-based WP2 Surplus Land Management Recommends, Subcommittee recommends to the Board that approximately 8.93 acres of land purchased as part of WP2 project be declared surplus and the GM be authorized to execute a purchase agreement with Celebrity Homes for the sale of 8.93 acres verified by survey in the amount of $57,594 per acre, subject to changes deemed necessary by GM and approval of the form by District Legal Counsel. And I so move.
Second.
Discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
McCormick?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Jefferson?
Yes. Saying we have nothing else, we stand adjourned.